Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. So it's around this time of year where we first talked 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, you asked me. I said, have you ever thought about this?
We didn't know each other much, but when I envisioned this podcast, I thought of you. To the point that when you said no, because you said no to me several times, I didn't pursue it with anybody else until one day you came and said, you know, I'm thinking about it. And I said, Philip is falling on the trap.
That's enough. He's thinking about it. Anyway, yeah, so I think it's about 5 years since we had that little chat. Is that right? Or maybe four?
That year I was chairing the Spring Assembly Committee, so I could probably trace it back and check that. Yeah.
Well, anyway, here we are. This is that time of year, and a beautiful time of year as well. It's spring, of course, so it's good. And we're heading towards the end of the Easter season, not quite there yet, but as I said last week, sadly, getting close to there. So how about I read the gospel and let's chat, and what's going on this weekend?
What we maybe can explain this before, and as many people know, this feast always has fallen on
the Ascension. I don't think we said that, the Ascension.
The Ascension falls on a Thursday. It's a novena 9 days before Pentecost. It ends up being 10 days the way we count them. And the idea is that so that more people can celebrate it, it's been moved to Sunday in many, many places, including the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. That's why this becomes the Sunday before Pentecost.
Exactly. So there's the seventh Sunday of Easter is not celebrated in a lot of places because of Ascension, but some parts of the world where people may be, and even in the United States, I think there are some dioceses that still have respect the Thursday. So I'll read the gospel then.
And you are reading from Mark's gospel, chapter 16, verses 15 to 20.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. That really kind of hits you in the gut, a powerful passage there. Would you agree with me that this would be Mark's version of the Great Commission?
Oh, it is.
In Matthew's gospel? Is that a fair?
Exactly. And that's how it happens. So we read Acts of the Apostles' version of this, and then we have a rotation of gospels like any other Sunday during the year. Year B, we are reading Mark's account. Matthew's account seems to be more well-written, it says, "And go and all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And this one has become more popular, probably, but that's exactly what it is. So this week, people need to be aware of the first reading from Acts of the Apostles.
Correct. I'm glad you pointed that out. Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Well, the Acts of the Apostles begins with the same experience, how Jesus came back from the dead and sent the disciples to baptize people, and that's what we what we read in the beginning of Acts of the Apostles that we read as a first reading.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is, so in the first reading and the gospel, almost every year you get an account of the same ascension of Jesus. And a reminder, you always need to remind people of this, Acts of the Apostles is part of the gospel of Luke in essence. Still the same gospel writer, and it's almost like part two of Luke's gospel, but two different perspectives of the ascension.
Yeah, and in the Acts of the Apostles, we will read, "Men of Galilee, what are you doing looking at the sky?" Which I think is the key to this celebration of the Ascension. That, again, we've said this so many times, that faith is looking at the sky, and faith is really looking around you. That's for Jesus, that's what faith was and what religion was, to look around and treat others like the real presence of God. I mean, loving others and doing the best for those around you. I mean, that's what the Ascension is about. Especially when we tend to look too much at the sky sometimes in terms of religion. Yes, heaven is there. Yes, we want to be saved. But how do we get saved? By being very, very much keeping our eyes on earth around us, I would say.
It's a very poignant farewell from Jesus here. And what I love about Matthew's version of this and Mark's as well is how succinct it is. Jesus' last words before he ascends into heaven, and they're very succinct, they're very direct and very clear. And that's our relationship as disciples. It's that call to go and to be disciples in the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. And I just love how succinct it is. But what Jesus, I think, communicates through the Gospels, but it happens especially here at this moment, is all those things that Jesus does, like all that kind of that power that he has from the Father to heal, to drive out demons. He's really saying, this is yours. You know, I give this to you. Like I said last week, it's an act of participation, but this is yours here. You have the power of God in so many ways, perhaps not exercised in quite the same way, but you're given this. That's really powerful. You know, Jesus says, I give this to you.
This is Jesus delegating his disciples to...
Right.
To his disciples of then and his disciples of now, that this is it for now. Yeah.
But this is a really fundamental truth of Christianity, that not good or bad, but in which it differs from really the other religions of the world, in which God says, here, your partner's here with me, and you can do these things. And here's where Jesus is very clear. He says, before I go, before I ascend into heaven, here's what I'm reminding you that you can do.
Reading the part about snakes and you mentioning other religions made me remember that case of a pastor who took snakes and he was actually bitten and he died. But
well,
because to understand this language of the gospel of being healers, and it's not that literal, but there is, that's the mission. Baptize, and baptizing means healing. It means being a part of a reality that is larger than ourselves, than our ego and our small problems. And that's the biggest healing that people need, I believe, to realize that it's not about us, about ourselves. It's about community.
Here's where I give thanks for the Catholic faith that we share, in which scripture, but also tradition. So we have kind of an understanding then from people like Thomas Aquinas or others of the importance of prudence. You're not going up to snakes just for fun or to test God and to grab them, and then they're not going to. And it really has been controversial. Snake handling is a way of life, and kind of reading this passage. And, you know, here's where our tradition and theology would say, all right, prudence in all things as well, and we've got to just be careful about that. Mm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is not a recklessness or games, but it really is, in a broader and deeper and more beautiful sense, the power of God being given to us.
What else would you say?
Well, what I love here is the sense of timing in this, in that we're here now. Like, think about the end of the Ascension, and then we're going to look at Pentecost next week. But after that point, it's us. And if, you know, salvation history continues now with us continuing the Acts of the Apostles. And I think there's something really profound about that. This is our time right now until the Lord Jesus comes again. And you know, if we're to hold ourselves accountable, how well are we doing this individually and as a church, as global citizens, these words of Jesus now, if the book were to be continued and written, the Acts of the Apostles, how would they write about us today, for instance?
I think I will mention also, you could take these signs that will accompany the disciples of Jesus, and since it's not literal, how does it translate? So when it says that they will speak new languages, what does it mean? And I think it means that as members of the of this church who's been sent out on a mission, that we need to speak the language of the poor, the language of the marginalized, the language of the artist, the language of multiple languages in which the human experience takes place. And I think I would like to question myself, my community, my parish, to see if we are doing that. Are we speaking the new languages that Easter should have taught us about?
Right, right. I think it's a really good observation.
Now we begin a week. It was supposed to be a novena, but it's a special time because this is the absence of Jesus from the Ascension until Pentecost, when we celebrate liturgically the sending of the Holy Spirit. There is like this time that we should reflect. It's kind of like Holy Saturday, like an absence there. That I think it's a good time for a retreat.
I agree. And preparation for Pentecost, as I'm sure we'll probably say next week, Pentecost should be, and for a long time was, as big as Christmas and Easter, one of these major feasts. And it still is, but I don't think we quite appreciate it in the same way in our Christian Catholic culture.
If you come to visit me to my parish, otherwise I can take a picture, but now we have a Holy Spirit by the same author that painted some of the things we've now hanging in the church. And it's a beautiful painting of a dove, colorful, that represents the Holy Spirit. We could have waited to hang it for Pentecost, but you know, you have it there already, so we
right.
just put it up for Holy Week. But I invite you to see it one day.
Yeah, absolutely. So we look forward to this week now, and a week of prayer was my point that I was trying to say here. So the week of prayer and preparation for Pentecost, and as we look forward to that next mm-hmm. week.
Excellent. Happy Feast of the Ascension, Philip.
Yes, you too. You too. And we will get together next week.
See you there.
Take care.